up, Tombstoners, and welcome back to another episode of
High on Horror.
I'm your host, Chris, joined by my two co-captains here. We got Josh and Miles. What's up, gents?
Hey.
Back at it again with the white vans.
Back at it again with the extraterrestrials.
We're done with the white vans.
I like turtles.
There we go.
This week, we are going to be talking all about, if you haven't noticed, it's Alien Month here at High on Horror, and we wanted to tell you guys about some alien films that we recommend to you. So we've got some extraterrestrial picks coming at you hot, coming in like a meteor shower, and so some of these will be a little bit deeper cuts. You know, we don't have like Signs on here or War of the Worlds, but we got some good ones, so stay tuned for that. But before we get into that, gentlemen, we have a name for spooky stuff. Came to Josh in a dream.
We got some format changes of brewing. So we're good. In an attempt to make the show a little more professional, we have renamed Spooky Stuff. It's going to be Frightful Finds. Stay tuned for a little audio drop there.
Ooh.
And on top of that, we're going to be changing up the format a little bit going forward to branch out from strictly just movie reviews and to do some other fun things that you'll be hearing in the coming weeks. But yeah, for now, who wants to kick off the Frightful Finds this week?
Miles, you always have good stuff. What do you got brewing this week? Did you get any more Wish shirts?
I did not get any more Wish shirts, no. But I do have something coming in the mail, but that's a secret. So I'll just keep it at we were just talking about Return of the Living Dead. I really enjoyed that movie. That's the lost episode in that we never recorded it. But I got that on Blu-ray, and it came with like this cool little poster thing I framed, and it's pretty dope. It's pretty dope.
That's one Brandon from Geek Peek was supposed to be on too.
Oh, really?
That's probably why it was lost to the void, honestly. Shout out to Brandon.
What are you doing? What was your frightful find?
I have been on a rewatch binge of like a bunch of recent horror films. So I rewatched Scream 6 and Pearl. I think I told you guys about that when we recorded. Nope. But I finally got around to watching two new ones that I missed in theaters. The first was Bo is Afraid, which is the latest Ari Aster film. He did Midsommar and Hereditary. And I was not a fan. So, I feel like it was a bad, like, head trip from, like, severe mental illness was, like, what that movie was for three. And it was 3 hours long. It was a long
movie. Oh, my God.
It was so long. It was very overindulgent. But still, interesting watch. I just would not recommend it. And then the other one I actually did like, which was crazy because I expected not to like it. It was a Christian horror movie called Nefarious. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
Nefarious! So it's like this clinical psychiatrist comes into a prison to visit this death row inmate who has been approved by the governor to be executed, and he has to do this final check to confirm whether or not this person is clinically insane or not. And if he isn't, then he's going to be executed. And in the process of interviewing him, he starts to be concerned that this man's like possessed by a demon.
Yes, I saw the trailer for this. I didn't know this was a Christian movie.
Dude.
I just knew it was demon related. And
so,
as, what's his name?
So,
The hobbly legged guy from the Mud Monster.
Oh my God. Yes. So, like,
Sean Patrick Flannery from the Boondock Saints.
Overall, It was not like amazing by any means, but it was good, and it had very little gore, and few scares. It was really more just an engaging, like, it was like character driven because it was all dialogue based. So they're like just going back and forth, and I don't know. I was surprised. It was pretty good. I looked up the like audience and critic scores for it, and it was actually pretty highly regarded, which I was like, damn, okay, this is an interesting kind of twist on the horror genre. Give me a Christian horror film. So that was my frightful find. How about you, Josh?
My frightful find is just a bit of horror movie news from the world of horror movies. A sad note, as of today, we lost acclaimed director William Friedkin, who directed The Exorcist, among other non-horror movies like The French Connection and Hunted with Tommy Lee Jones. And is it Javier Bardem? Is he the collector in the MCU?
Yes. No.
Yeah.
No, that's Benicio del Toro.
There it is. Yeah. He also directed Bug. That's a pretty creepy horror movie.
Weird one.
Yeah.
That was real weird. That's Michael Shannon and Ashley Judd. Real out there.
That's a strange.
Yeah.
Film.
So. But I mean, The Exorcist. That is a landmark.
Did
Mount Rushmore horror movie, and
he died just before he had to see David Gordon Green spit on his legacy one more time.
Yeah, but yeah, sad news. We will be missed, sir, and thank you for such a classic horror movie.
Hear, hear.
We also lost Pee Wee Herman.
We did. Well, I guess he's in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's horror adjacent.
Oh, dude! Oh my God! I forgot my biggest piece of alien news. I don't know why I didn't say this. Maybe I said this.
I got abducted.
Maybe I said this on the Nope episode. But if I did not, I want everyone out there to know that once again I come to you with Dead by Daylight news. They are putting the Xenomorph, the alien from Alien, into the game, and they're bringing the Nostromo, which is the ship from the first film, in as a map. And it's going to be freaking sweet. I cannot wait.
It took until now, but they got me. I'm coming.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's crazy. It's literally like horror Fortnite at this point.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, they just get every license. I'm like, holy crap. What is off the table? Nothing. Like, any horror icon could end up in this game. Like, I would not be surprised if we don't get Jason Voorhees in the next 12 months.
But then why are they coming out with specific games like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the Killer Clowns from Outer Space games? Why don't they just put them in that game?
Well, because it's a different kind of game too. Like, it's similar in the sense that it's an asymmetric horror game, but like, from what I heard, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game is much more of like a stealth game, and it's a 3v4 as opposed to a 1v4. Now, what I think should happen is Dead by Daylight should release some other game types so that they can dominate the market, and then every game would have to go through them. But they haven't done that. And I haven't seen what kind of game is Killer Clowns.
It's going to be the same kind of thing, but I think it might be like 3v4 or something. It's not just one bad guy, it's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, also there are horror game franchises that have characters inside of Dead by Daylight. Like, they've pretty much confirmed that they're gonna have a Friday or Five Nights at Freddy's character come in. Maybe they'll wait until closer to when the film comes out, and then they already have a bunch of Silent Hill characters and a bunch of Resident Evil characters. So it really is more of like Super Smash Brothers kind of idea than it is like trying to be true to one game. So I feel like that kind of also differentiates it, but I'll be playing Texas Chainsaw Massacre as well, and more than likely Killer Clowns.
I'm so stoked for Killer Clowns from Outer Space, bro. Fucking love this series. It's just one, but still.
Yeah. They've finished, like, they're not going to be making or selling the Friday the 13th game anymore. They put out a press release saying, like, thanks for all your support and love, but as of this date, we won't be, you can't buy it in the store or on any of the downloads anymore. Like, but thank you for years of support, and sorry we couldn't, you know, take this to its full potential like we wanted to because of fucking legal troubles with the movie, between the movie and the producers and all that shit. Like, it had nothing to do with us. But they're the same people that are making the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game, so they're just kind of, you know, pivoted to a different franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in, like, a renaissance of horror video games right now, man. Like, what did we have when we were kids? Like, Legacy of Kain was, like, the closest thing to horror
games that we game. Could get. Yeah.
Manhunt. That's a game right there. Manhunt's the shit.
Yeah,
I had Splatterhouse when I was a little kid. That was a fun game.
I never
used Jason knockoff beating up demons.
I never really played any of the I never really played horror games as like a kid. When I got into high school, I started kind of dabbling in them, but
Parasite Eve, that was one. That one was crazy. That was like the thing. Anyway,
Parasite Eve. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Old school. Old school.
To bring me the Horizon song.
Yeah, just like the Bring Me the Horizon song. So, we wanted to talk about alien movies, right?
We did. Yeah, we're coming at you hot with some deep cuts from the intergalactic core. What you got? Josh first, because he's totally ready. Yeah. He's ready to unleash.
Yeah, we're going to give you some recommendations. Some of these you've heard of, some of these maybe you haven't. But we didn't really want to do like top whatever list or favorites because it's hard to pick. So here's some maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't. I'll kick it off with a movie that I don't think either one of you have seen. Is called Fire in the Sky. Very creepy movie. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I've heard from other podcasts that it does not hold up and it is not as good. But as a kid when I saw this, it scared the shit out of me.
I've never seen this one.
Yeah. It's based on a true story, and it's about an actual abduction that happens in, like, I think it's like the Redwood Forests of Washington or Oregon or whatever, wherever that is. These like lumberjacks, one of them gets abducted, which is D.B. Sweeney, who is he's in Spawn. He was on the OC. He's one of those guys where he's like, you'd know him if you saw him. It also has Robert Patrick, the bad guy from Terminator 2, and a bunch of other things. Peacemaker's dead. and I just remember the abduction scenes. Like, they show you him being on the ship and being probed and tortured by these aliens and stuff. And it is, like, very, like, kind of that body horror. Kind of like, I think one of the movies I'm thinking of is on the list, kind of like a Pandorum Event Horizon type of, you know, very mechanical body torture type of shit. And it was very, very creepy as a kid. And then he just gets returned, and it's just whether or not everyone believes him while he has these horrifying flashbacks of what these aliens did to him, of like shoving tubes down his throat and shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, I remember it being extremely effective, and I would love to rewatch it to see if it holds up in any sort of way.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that one except for you telling me about it, but it sounds a lot like another movie on this list. The Communion with Christopher Walken. Guys, you each need to break me off a piece of that Walken. Let's hear it. You guys do your best. Let's hear it.
I can only do them from Joe Dirt.
I can only do them from Pulp
Fiction.
You're
talking to my boy.
I'm sorry, Josh.
Stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
I can only do them from Pulp Fiction. And I hid that watch up my ass for 5 years. 5 whole years, that cold hunk of metal up my ass.
My Christopher Walken is like Christopher Walken and Donald Trump having a baby. It sounds terrible. He's like, we're going to build a wall, and it's going to be the greatest wall anyone has ever known.
The darkest timeline is really the same
you're
person.
You're just doing Christopher Walken, but you're saying Donald Trump shit.
It's the only way it works. I can't get it to come out in other ways. I was abducted by aliens. Anyway,
dog.
I'm not good at it, but he's in this movie Communion, and he is so Christopher Walken in this movie. I've talked about it a few times with you guys, but it is the most
running.
It's yes, exactly. It's the most Christopher Walken anything you'll ever get. He is so fucking weird in this movie, and it's immensely entertaining to watch. Not a whole lot happens in the movie. It's just him walking around and being weird, and it's incredible. But he gets abducted by aliens one night, and then he gets obsessed with aliens. But he's still just Christopher Walken, kind of walking around. But the aliens, everyone's like, it holds up, man. It's great. I'm here to tell you it is not, and it does not. They are like, there's literally Muppet aliens that are like hand puppets, and then they have like, the alien, like a big head, yellow gray alien, and it's just like static. It's like a piece of plastic that doesn't have arms that move or anything, and they just like wiggle it around to show he's walking. I'm like, this is not. Everyone tells me that the special effects in this are amazing, and that it's laughably bad. But if you like Christopher Walken, it's a great movie.
I do like Christopher Walken. You ever seen The Dead Zone?
I saw the TV show. I didn't see the one with Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's a movie based on a Stephen King book, and it's mostly just him like whipping his head around as he has visions of what's going to happen.
Well, I am bringing to the table a pretty good one. Last I saw, it was on Netflix. This is Interdimensional Demon Aliens, talking about The Mist, which is also a Stephen King adaptation with Tom Jane?
Yes, sir. Yeah, The Punisher.
Yeah. This movie did not get me the first time I watched it, but the second time I watched it, it was like, I was also older and could actually appreciate what had happened at the ending of this film. Second time, I was like, Jesus, that's dark.
Yeah, saddest ending to any horror movie ever.
I've always described it as, it says, the most shocking ending for a movie I've ever seen. And it's also a movie I didn't really care for. Like, I didn't think the movie itself was all that great till about the last 5 minutes, and then I was like, holy shit!
Right?
yeah, really.
Did you guys ever watch the TV show on FX?
No,
I didn't. I was interested in it, but no, I never got around to watching it. Is it any
good?
It's
pretty good. It's pretty good. It reminds me of... anyway, it's pretty good.
Well, with The Mist,
The Stand.
The one...
Sorry, that was what I was trying to say. It reminds me of the TV show The Stand. Go on, sorry.
Oh yeah, I loved The Stand TV show, so I'll have to check that out. The thing that I really like about The Mist, and something that I love about any kind of like monster horror, and that's kind of essentially what Aliens are for the most part, is I love that it like, you don't ever really see exactly what it is. You see like maybe bits and pieces, and there are some monsters that pop out here and there. But for me, that like makes it so much scarier. So like the setting for The Mist is awesome. I would love to see a reboot with like more action, more monsters, more violence. Like take it all up a notch. A la
more actors from The Walking Dead. Because there's like three actors from The Walking Dead.
But yeah, The Mist.
I like the scene where they're in the receiving bay and the tentacle starts coming under the door.
Yeah.
And then one guy's like, oh, what's that? Look at that. Oh, it wants to be my friend. And then it just like rips the flesh off his arm. And he's like, oh my God.
Well, Miles, you're up. Another horror find?
You mentioned Pandorum earlier, and I don't think that movie gets the credit it deserves at all. That movie is super fun. It has an unpleasant, what's the word I'm looking for? It feels like You ever hear like a song that it's like royalty free music? It just doesn't quite go where your ear wants it to. That's like the aesthetic of this movie, and I feel like it's intentional. Like, it's just not quite what you want it to be, but that's what makes it unique. And it's the guy from 30 Days of Night and
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster and Dennis Quaid. And Dennis Quaid is fantastic in it because it's like Dennis Quaid gets locked in the cockpit, and then the other guy is like climbing around on the ship and figuring out that like they're aliens and monsters, and there's like this whole civilization, and they've been living for hundreds of years in this ship, but the main dudes were in hypersleep. So like an entire epoch's worth of just like history and chaos has happened on this ship, and he just wakes up into it, and it's really, really well done.
Yeah, that's one I need to revisit. I've only seen that one once, but I remember really liking it.
There are a few twists like back to back at the end, so I don't want to spoil anything, but it's really good the next time around when you already know what all the twists are.
Oh yeah. What about the, we'll say the Cloverfield universe? We'll add all three of them in.
Yeah.
Cuz I think Cloverfield is really good, even though I'm not a huge fan of found footage movies, but I am a huge fan of giant monster movies. and I think it just really works. It does get a little bit to the point of, like, I just want to see this fucking monster already. But, I mean, the marketing campaign behind the first movie had me hooked for, like, a year and a half of, like, what is this? What is it going to be? Like, they're barely showing you anything. And, like, there were so many, like, weird things they would release. There was, like, a Japanese manga that was, like, a prequel. And, like, all these, like, weird websites that would, like, branch off of one another, like, trying to unravel the mystery of it all. It had my attention for quite some time. And I just think it's such a cool concept of, like, this is what it would actually be like. Like, I love Godzilla and everything, but it's usually like, Godzilla's here, or, oh, my God, Godzilla's here to destroy the city. And this is like, a monster came out of the ocean and everything went to shit. Like,
I echo all of your sentiments. I absolutely love Cloverfield because, like, also the street level stuff when they're in the subway being chased by the smaller ones is, like, terrifying. Really effective horror. Like, it's scary. There's, like, claustrophobia. There's, like, fear of heights that plays into that film. Like, they do a great job. And, like, it is more of a sci-fi movie, but the moments that are, like, straight-up horror are awesome. They're so good.
Well, and it's because there is a lot of mystery to it, because since it is a found footage movie, there is no stopping for exposition. No one has a monologue about what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
It is just go from the second, like, the lights start flickering and then the Statue of Liberty's head gets hung down the street.
Godzilla!
And then you are, like, constantly playing catch-up for the rest of the movie. So it's very, very interesting. And then they just kind of branched it out into a kind of like cinematic universe instead of making it like one linear story or like different accounts from around the country or anything. Like, because the second one is still alien related, but it's not the same event and it's not like the same universe.
Yeah.
But then the third one is, which is weird. Like,
well, the second one is the same universe, but just like, I think it's happening simultaneously.
I don't know that it is, because there's nothing talking about what's happened, and then there's like a fucking spaceship at the end.
Like, yeah,
well, that gets explained in the third one, that like basically it was just a portal that was letting all these aliens through, so like that was just a different kind.
I think their idea was they were going to branch off and just do a bunch of different ones. Like, I don't think they're supposed to be related. I don't think they're supposed to take place in the same universe. I think they were kind of trying to, like what they wanted to do with Halloween originally is just make a Halloween movie and then every few years make another Halloween movie that is it just takes place around the same kind of concept, but not the same movie. And I think that's, they just wanted to make like alien movies that were like different stories, because they were supposed to make a third one that was like set in World War II and aliens arrive. And then, like we talked about in our Quiet Place episode, A Quiet Place was going to be a Cloverfield movie, and there were a couple of other ones. And, like, I believe Cloverfield Paradox was supposed to be a completely different movie, and then they just made some tweaks to it and made it a Cloverfield movie. And I think the same thing with 10 Cloverfield Lane. It was just a movie about them being in, like, a bomb shelter and whether or not the world had ended, and the girl didn't know if it was a lie. And then they're like, we can make this a Cloverfield movie.
I wanted to like that movie a lot more than I did, and what made it bad was the spaceship at the end. Like, if they had made it like just like a psychological thriller, that movie would be amazing, and they ruin it all in the last 2 minutes of the movie by putting a spaceship in it.
Yeah, see, I like it better than I thought I would, because I hated it from just the marketing, because I was like, oh, my giant monster's not coming back. I wanted more giant monster. But it is, I mean, it is a suspenseful movie, and all the actors are pretty amazing in it.
Yeah. The psychological, like, horror aspect of that movie up till the end is great, and it does kind of take a hard left turn. Now that I'm really thinking about it, Josh, I guess you are right. Like, outside of it just being aliens, there isn't really a tie.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead coming back to be tormented by more aliens.
The first time I saw the first Cloverfield, that night I scored for the first time. So that holds a special place in my heart for that reason. Yay,
Cloverfield. Cloverfield's out here popping cherries, y'all.
Thank you, God.
We watched that, and then we watched Anchorman, and that's when it happened.
Thank you, Cloverfield Monster.
I got one that we've tossed it around as one we want to review on the show, but we are waiting for it to come on streaming, Brightburn.
Yeah,
this movie
not seen it.
Is sick.
Evil baby Superman.
Literally, it's a what if story, what if horror movie about if Superman just decided that he was like if he would just happen to be a sociopath instead of like this kind, good, all American guy, and like.
But I like what they do with it though. Like, it's not really, it's not as cut and dry as that.
Yeah,
it's not. We won't ruin it for Miles. But
yeah, yeah.
It is like. Where they go and how they get there to that point is really cool. And it's always fun to see kind of an alternate story to the Superman mythos. But it is exactly like how they didn't get sued. I mean, they basically do everything except for going, his name's Superman, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's very effective, the horror elements of this movie, and you do kind of get like a one by one thinning of the herd, which is fun to watch. So think if Superman was a slasher, and that's
basically
it's kind of what
it
you get.
Dope.
Yeah, it's a fun one. I was sad that we didn't get more movies like this, and I was sad that this didn't do as well as it probably would now. Like, a movie like this now probably would actually make some good money, but I don't know.
Yeah, the only bad part about it is that the end credits is set to Bad Guy by Billie Eilish, and it does not fit the tone of the movie. Like, the movie ends on such like a low note that it should have just gone out in this like ominous type of music, and it just kicks in with this kind of like fucking party song.
I'm like, a bad guy. Yeah, all right, Miles, you're up again. What you got?
Y'all ever watch Mars Attacks?
Yeah.
I hate Mars Attacks.
I love that movie. It's so ridiculous.
I hate it. I haven't rewatched it since I was a kid.
Oh, I just recently rewatched it, and like, it has every celebrity of the 90s. All of them are in it. Jack Nicholson's
the president.
It should be so
much better.
And Jack Nicholson's like an oil tycoon. He plays multiple characters in this movie. It's so good. How
directed
do you not
by
like
Tim
it?
Burton.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big reason.
Yeah.
I just think it's stupid as fuck. I don't think it's good. I don't really think it's funny. So I don't think it lands on anything it's supposed to be landing. Like, it's too not that it's scary, but what the things that happen are terrifying, like if they were to happen to real people. So it's too like intense to be an actual comedy, but I don't think it's funny enough to be a fucking comedy. So it's just kind of this weird kind of like present day with 50s tones.
It's a crossbreed.
Yeah, it's just a giant fucking mess to me. The amount of A-list actors that are in that movie, it should have been incredible, and I don't think it's incredible at all.
When's the last time you watched it?
The aliens are fucking annoying.
The aliens are very annoying.
I don't know, 1998 or whatever.
Yeah, you should give it another shot. It holds up pretty well. I thought it was funny. Jack Black plays like a military
person. It
doesn't
hold up if I didn't think it was good at the time.
No, I'm saying like through the lens of an adult, maybe you will find it better.
Yeah, possibly. I could enjoy the jokes better as an adult or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Some of the scenes are so silly. Like the main lady, she gets her head like stapled to her chihuahua's head.
Yep.
The chihuahua goes on her. That part's hilarious. But
I remember that.
Pierce Brosnan is just a head for majority of the movie. He's just a head. But yeah, I mean, I think you guys should give it another shot, cuz I enjoyed it this time around as well.
Dope. Well, Josh, what else you got on your slate of alien films that you'd wreck?
I'll talk about something that solidifies the 90s in one foul swoop, and that movie is The Faculty.
Yeah, it is.
that's Kevin Williamson written, who also did H2O and Scream, and I Know What You Did Last Summer. It is just it's all 90s, baby. And it's got Elijah Wood, Frodo Baggins himself, Usher in a starring role, Josh Hartnett, fresh off of Halloween H2O. And it's a fun fucking movie. Got Fanka Jackson from fucking X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
She plays the hot teacher. And it's like it's kind of like a Stepford Wife situation where all like the adults start being taken over by aliens. And there's a lot of fun shit in there. John Stewart plays a teacher.
That's right. Yeah, John Stewart.
He gets his fingers cut off with a paper shredder.
Oh, yeah.
And also Robert Patrick returning again. Two movies in a row.
Back at it.
He plays the dickhead football coach who only becomes more of a dickhead when he's taken over by an alien. But I think this movie's a lot of fucking fun. And it's just a good time. And it's very... brings me back. I don't have a lot of nostalgia for things, but this like era of movies, like your Halloween H2O's, they're all like filmed exactly the same, mostly are dialogue driven exactly the same because they were all written by the same fucking person. I think it's just a fun time. It's not super scary, but it's like a good starter if you want a movie to like get you into the horror genre. It's a good stepping stone. It won't get you off the genre altogether. Start with The Exorcist or anything.
I really like that movie, too. Like, some of the scenes are really intense when they have the pens with cocaine in them, and they're like, you have to snort the cocaine. Like,
yeah, it's like fake drugs that Josh Hartnett's a drug dealer, and he's like, I made this kind of, it's like meth and Adderall and all this shit mixed together. Yeah, it's kind of like the thing where they do the blood test.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're like, the aliens can't handle this speed I made in my garage, so let's all take some speed and see who's an alien.
Truth be told, I don't remember a whole lot about that movie, but I remember watching it over and over, and I remember the swimming pool scene where someone's running away from it in the swimming pool and it dives in and just shoots forward. That shit fucked with me. I am not a water guy. I feel like I'm gonna get eaten by a shark in a swimming pool. I am not a water guy, so that one really rang a bell with me, struck a chord.
Yeah, I'm sure the graphics don't hold up. There are some CGI creatures.
Oh, yeah, the CGI is absolutely CGI, so. Some of the worst. But
we could definitely do it on here sometime. It would just be a fun movie to fucking talk about.
Well, you said water, and that's where my next alien horror film takes place. This one's called Underwater with Kristen Stewart. This film is Alien... but at the Marianas Trench. Now, you might ask, how would you know that it's an alien down there? Well, eventually you see it. there is like a gigantic Cthulhu. So I'm classifying that as an alien, even if it's like from the Earth. It is not from the Earth as far as I'm concerned.
I just watched The Meg the other day, and that also takes place at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
Yeah, overall, I thought this was like a really fun update on Alien. And overall, like, I would definitely recommend watching it. I enjoyed it. I just love these like creature horror movies where it's like you're in extreme elements. I think that's always like a fun situation to see people in. And it's got some other familiar faces in it as well.
You would think, like, Miles, you're going to someday watch a movie that's evil mermaids and you're going to like it. And I would have said, nay, you're a fool. But it turns out that is the case. Even though it's evil mermaids for most of the movie, that one's actually a pretty solid watch.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, but it was a pandemic movie, so I don't think a lot of eyes got on it, so it's probably, it deserves more love than it got.
It kind of feels like a Marvel movie. Like, I don't know, just the way everything, like, stacks up as it goes. It's the same era that, like, some of the, like, Infinity War saga was kind of, like, coming together, and it just felt, like, way more epic than it had any business being.
It did feel pretty
epic. It looked a lot like The Abyss, James Cameron's The Abyss, which is also underwater aliens.
Yeah, I actually have not seen that movie. Is that one good?
I haven't seen it since I was a little kid, but I've heard things just about like the bag, because they actually had to film that in water. There was no CGI at the time to be had. And like so many of the cast members almost died and shit. Like they were apparently it was a nightmare to film.
Jesus. But yeah, underwater. I believe last time I checked it was on Max, but it may be rotated to Hulu at this point.
I saw it on Hulu a couple months ago, so I don't know where it is, but it's worth a check out. Talking to your Alexa remote underwater. See what happens. So my last one really is a movie that is one of those movies where you walk away from it and you go, but that wasn't real, right? And that movie would be The Fourth Kind. Have you guys seen that?
Yes, and I felt the same exact way. It was very Blair Witch Project, where you got done watching it, and you're like, what?
Because the whole time they're saying, this is like a movie that is a horror movie, but it also is, quote-unquote, the actual footage. And what makes it convincing is they put them side by side, like they filmed it twice. And it's like, I'd never really seen that before. And at the beginning, the Resident Evil lady is there and she's just like, it's really important that everybody sees this movie and knows that aliens are real. And it's like, but wait a minute, this isn't real, right?
It's like there's like a talk show panel at the beginning of the film to make me think that they're screening this movie. Like, that's a part of the movie? What is happening? It's, like, so meta.
It's pretty out there, but it's intense. Josh, have you seen it?
I have not seen that one, no. I remember seeing the commercials and stuff for it and being like, Mila Jovovich, what are you doing here?
We'll have to do that one, dude. That one actually is... That's one that's kind of... It's, like, actually scary.
Yeah, I wanted to do it for Alien Month, but it's not streaming anywhere. I think it's on Stars. Who's got Stars?
Yeah, fucking Stars strikes again.
I'm ready for the streaming wars to end and for House Stars to fall to Max.
Dude, Max is so crazy right now. Like, there's an infinite amount of viewing on Netflix, and this is like 10 Netflixes stacked on top of each other. Like, amazing shit. Anyway.
Let's see. Josh?
Yeah, I am pretty much out, so I will just... And I'll end with my final one, which was the director of the 2014 Godzilla, and he also is the director of Rogue One, Gareth Edwards. His first movie was a movie from 2010 called Monsters. Have you seen that?
I have not.
No.
Very good. It's the same type of thing that Gareth Edwards always does, is he does very visually spectacular movies with incredible scale, but he does it for somehow a shockingly lower budget than normal. Like, because his Godzilla movie did not cost a lot, And like the scene in Rogue One where the walkers are coming in, and just the sheer scale of them compared to the people. He has such an eye for that. Yeah. And he has a new movie coming out.
I can't wait. It's called The Creator.
Yeah. Creator, yeah. And it only has a budget of like $87 million or something like that. And it looks fucking phenomenal.
It does.
Looks out of this world. But his first movie is called Monster, which is about, it's a world where like alien monsters have come down. So like, it's just like, how would the world continue to live knowing that these monsters are here, and you just have to like kind of live around them. So there's like quarantine zones, and it's about a guy who has to like go across the border. He has to basically, like, he's been hired to, I believe, bring this woman from one side of the quarantine zone to the other.
It's the Last of Us.
Their journey through the quarantine zone, kind of, yeah. But instead of zombies, it's fucking giant monsters. Cool. And this was like an extremely low budget film that he would literally like do the special effects on at home.
That's crazy. Himself.
And it is, it's a pretty cool movie. And it's definitely worth seeing for something a little more on the indie side. And just for, I mean, he to see where like he kind of got his start. Because his Godzilla, if you've seen like King of the Monsters or Godzilla vs. Kong, they're good movies. But, I mean, what he was able to do with Godzilla, he really got his like roots for it in this movie. Just kind of, he is a master when it comes to scale and actually having it feel like it's real world when you're dealing with these otherworldly type of creatures. So yeah, I definitely recommend that. But that is all I have for that's all I have for alien movies that I would recommend, besides, you know, we're leaving out the big ones like Aliens and shit, like Predator, stuff we've already talked about, like The Thing.
Well, my last one is, it's an A24 film. I've recommended it a couple times. It's from the director who did Ex Machina, Alex Garland, and it's called Annihilation. It's a female-led cast, led by Natalie Portman, and her male counterpart is Oscar Isaac. It's a really fresh take on an alien invasion, if you will. And I won't say much more than that. It's kind of a mystery, but it has some legit scares, and I would love to do that one on the show sometime. It's one of my favorite alien films, and I feel like it's underplayed because it's like an A24 kind of indie, more on the indie side alien film. I guess A24 is not really indie anymore, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've held out on seeing it because I figured we'd do it on here sometime, but I do really want to watch it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I saw it a long time ago. I don't really remember much about it, but I watched it a long time ago, so I'm eager to do it on the show, too.
Yeah, Josh, you when you said you hate found footage, I was like, all right, I guess I won't recommend either of the two found footage films that I had on my list.
Well, I've seen one of them. I've seen Apollo 18.
Okay, yeah, that one's all right.
And that was, yeah, that's all right.
It's not great, but...
Rock crab monsters on the
Area 51 is the other one. That one's kind of an interesting one, where it's just like a YouTuber that goes into Area 51.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I remember that movie.
Yeah, it's just a fun little like one-off watch, but...
another one. You ever see The Host?
Yes.
Is it a Korean horror film?
Yes.
Yeah. That movie is pretty good. It gets really slow for a long swath of it, but the monster is so cool, and he's doing like acrobatics and shit, and it's not like a ginormous monster, but it's just believable enough that it can like slip away and hide sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a giant monster.
It's pretty big. Don't get me wrong. It's pretty big, but
it's a mutated fish. Because they're like pouring embalming fluid into the sewage system. That's like the opening scene, is they're just dumping barrels of embalming fluid. And then they're like, oh no, why has this fish got legs now?
I thought it was an alien movie, but yeah, that movie's crazy. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. I just saw it recently. That's the only reason I know. Because it's a pretty popular director, Bong Joon-Kim, who did Parasite.
Yeah, his name is Bong.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, those are our alien horror recommendations. Some deep cuts from the boys. With that being said, if you want to support the show and follow us on social media, it is at HonHPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can get some sweet, sweet merch at HonHPod.threadless.com. And yeah, life is tough, so why not get
high on horror?